it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Say big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
From the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Darren, Donick, and Chase. With hosts Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe. On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody enjoyed a fantastic weekend weather-wise until yesterday's storms came rolling in. Woo! Pretty scary in a lot of places. It got pitch black here about 5:30, and it looked like it was nighttime. Pretty amazing stuff, and I know a lot of you have been without power. I think it was 130,000 at some point. 130,000 people without power at one point. I know they've been working through the night to get everybody's power back up, and some people's power are back. But, man, a lot of people that do not have power didn't have power for a long time. In fact, I saw on social media Craig and Aaliyah Smith saying they didn't have power for a very, very long time. In fact, I haven't even seen if they got it back. So thinking about those people that don't have power right now, hopefully you will get it restored here shortly. Darren McFarland, that's me, down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is over in East Nashville representing Chase Hello. McCabe in Bellevue on the west side of town. So we've got most points of Middle Tennessee covered. Marquise Munson back at our Wholesale Inc. Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Guys, how was your weekend?
It was a good weekend, Darren. Enjoying the great weather. We had a little bit of everything, didn't we? We had some heat. We had some perfect weather. And we had some storms, too. In fact, we're calling around the neighborhood right now to see who has power and who doesn't. There's some trees down in East Nashville. That's all we needed in our neighborhood after the tornado, right?
Yeah.
But they some of the trees that survived the tornado did not survive yesterday, and there is some power out around here. Fortunately, as you can hear, we're okay here on Eastland Avenue.
Good to know. I honestly, when they first said it on the news, I was like, they had to put a comma in the wrong place or read the teleprompter wrong. Like, there's no way 130,000 people without power. It was a thunderstorm. Right? I mean, you would expect something, you know, the 2010 flood, you would expect tornadoes, you would expect something really, really bad. And yeah, those thunderstorms people got hail, but, you know, not 130,000 people without power. I was like, that can't be right. They must have said it wrong. Nope. They didn't say it wrong. It was right.
Yeah,
so I hope everybody's safe and sound.
Look, I saw a video, Cody H. on Twitter. Put this out from his, I guess it was his Nest doorbell camera.
Yeah, he lives in my neighborhood.
Oh, okay. So have you seen
the
video?
That's from Smyrna. You talking about his trampoline?
It wasn't his trampoline. It was way across the street, and it ended up in the front of his house.
Yeah, Cody Holland. Yeah.
Yeah, Cody Holland.
He lives
in
the back part of my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. This video is unreal. And he tweeted about 27 minutes ago, six different agencies are wanting to license that video.
Well, he had that. I think he had that out last night. I had seen it last night.
Yeah, he did. But I saw it this morning when I woke up, and I was like, holy cow. You can see it as the wind picks up, and there's a trampoline way across the street. It ends up against his house. Just shows you the power. And those were straight-line winds. I mean, it came through here. and was quite the show. The power flickered on and off and never actually went out, but I was sitting here a little nervous based on what happened just about a month and a half ago. So I'm glad that it passed through and everybody's all right.
Yeah, I need to go back and look at that Cody video.
Did something.
So that came from somewhere else, huh?
Yeah, the trampoline did. That's on his doorbell camera. You know, a lot of people have that now, the Nest camera. But, yeah, it was across the street, and you could kind of see it through the rain get lifted up, and then all of a sudden it rolls across or is blown across.
Yeah, I thought it was strange. He got my attention when he said, "Does anybody need a trampoline?" And I was like, "What? Why is Cody trying to sell something during those really bad storms or right after some really bad storms?" And then you just see that thing barreling across the street right for his house.
Yeah, that's scary. That's
well, he's lucky that, I mean, how crazy, it's just like all the people that can tell the stories of they're sitting there watching the tornado coming right to them.
Right.
And then it just picks up and goes right over them. I mean, this thing happens to flip over. Now, it eventually gets to his house, but it could have been a lot worse. When it was barreling down, when it got to the street, it then flipped up on its, you know, upright, and it was just sitting there in the street like somebody just placed their trampoline in the street, and then it eventually got blown into his house. But, yeah, crazy, crazy video.
Yeah, I would just be sitting there going, that's not good.
Yeah, think about doing the play-by-play for that, Willie, sitting there watching it come to your house. That's not the play-by-play you want to do.
Not at all.
Put that one in the freezer, baby.
Man, so, yeah, check that out. Sad news, Don Shula, age 90, has died. Hall of Fame, everything. Great coach, great person. I actually got a chance to meet him one time, and I'll never forget that experience. I've told you guys the story before. It was, I think, 1994, I think is the right year. My roommate in college, he was from down in South Florida. Hollywood, Florida is where he was from. His parents lived. He was my roommate at Kentucky, and his dad was a really, really high-end doctor, so they were very well off. And my buddy drove a brand-new Mustang GT, which was the hot thing in the late 80s, right? Early 90s, and so we decided to take a trip down there and see where he was from, and we scheduled around some football games. Imagine that. It was early September, and so we went to the Miami-Florida Hurricanes game against Georgia Southern, and it was their home opener, and it was the game where they won 58-0, and it was their 58th consecutive home win. Now just think about that today. 58 consecutive wins at home, and then they would go on to lose their next home game, ironically. But I was there to see them win their 58th in a row, and then the very next day we went and saw the Patriots and the Dolphins start to open up their NFL season. It was when Ben Coates and obviously Dan Marino, I mean, it was a show. It was a back-and-forth, crazy, high-scoring affair, and Drew Bledsoe, and it was just a fun game. So that was my first experience with those stadiums. But in between that, I wanted to see the Dolphins facility. And so he took me to the Dolphins facility. Of course, it was gated up. We couldn't get in, but I just wanted to see it. So we're outside his car, and we're just sitting there, and I'm just kind of looking at the Dolphins facility going, cool, you know, I wish we could go in. And the gate opens, and a car is coming out, and the car stops right as, and I thought, my immediate reaction was, it was a really nice car. I'm thinking, oh, we may be in trouble. Maybe we're not supposed to be even right here. I mean, we are on their property. The window comes down. He's this older gentleman says, how you guys doing? And it was Don Shula and his wife. And he sat there and talked to us for 5-10 minutes.
Oh,
that's
cool.
They were leaving the facility.
And, that's really cool.
You know, we just done. We were two college kids, and where we went to school, and we were down here to, you know, go to some games, and told him that my roommate was from Hollywood, and yeah, they sat there and chatted with us for 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, that just goes to show you, like, that's Don Shula, like, right, 1994. Like, Don Shula didn't ever have to ever touch his brake or hit the window to go down back then. It was just two guys, you know, standing there on a place probably they shouldn't be on the facility, and yet he chose to stop, roll down his window, and talk to us. So that was my encounter with Don Shula, and I'll never forget that ever.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool story. It just shows you how nice of a person he was. So that's one you can cherish for sure.
It's amazing what he did as a coach for as long as he did it. You know, when I first got old enough to start watching NFL games, this was the prime of his heyday. He continued for decades, and that's probably the best thing you could say about him is he won in all the decades, right? He evolved with the game. He started in the 1960s with the Colts, and he had Johnny Unitas as the quarterback, and they had some great teams there. Then he started up the Dolphins, and within a couple of years, he built a winning team and, you know, had those great teams with the great running game and the great no-name defense, and then he evolved when he got Dan Marino later in the 80s and completely changed the way he went about offense. And then on into the 90s, continued to win. So he's one of the greatest of all time. I mean, might be. I mean, he's right up there. Had he maybe won one more Super Bowl? They lost, what, three Super Bowls? He lost one with the Colts. They had the big upset against Joe Namath and the Jets. They had a really tight game that they lost against John Riggins and the Redskins that they were right in for a while. If he maybe pulled one more off, maybe he's right there with all the others. But, you know, he probably is number one in terms of longevity and, if you know, everything but the actual number of Super Bowl titles. Is that a fair way to throw at it?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, well, his team, by the way, you said it best. I mean, how many
he's
times
got the most wins.
Yeah. Yeah, but he evolved. You change and evolve with the times or you get left behind, and he did. You know, a lot of guys, they're too stubborn, and they're like, well, this is what's worked for me, and I'm not willing to change, and it's just a recipe for disaster. I mean, it's just get left behind. It just doesn't work out, and so the great ones, they evolve and they change with the times. And you said it best, Don Shula did. We all remember the 72 season, at least historically. I don't know if...
Well, I don't.
I was going to say, none of us really remember. Well, even us don't really... No. We don't remember the 72 season.
Yeah, that's before my time, for sure. But that's the legendary season that everybody marks their turf against, right? They still toast every year when the last team loses the first game.
No doubt about it. So he lost to the 49ers, he lost to the Redskins, as you mentioned, and then, of course, he had the loss to the Super Bowl to the Jets, which, you know, we all remember that. By the way,
the Cowboys, too. The year before the undefeated season, they lost the Super Bowl to the Cowboys. So he lost.
So he was 2-4.
Super Bowls?
2-4.
2-4, yeah.
Yeah. He lost to the Cowboys when?
The year before.
Oh, that was, that's right. They went three straight years, didn't they? In the early 70s.
Yeah, with a relatively young franchise with the Dolphins. They built that great team. And in the 70s, man, they were awfully tough. You think about the great teams of the 70s. You had the Dolphins. You had the Steelers, which ended up being the team of the decade. And you had the Raiders. Who were great every year.
Yep.
So between those three teams, that takes up most of the 70s. In terms of who was representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. Those are some of the greatest teams of all time.
Three powerhouses. Same conference. You're right. All right, we'll come back. Vince Ferrara's got to move a little bit earlier today because he is filling in all week in Knoxville on their midday show. So he will join us on the other side right now, and we'll talk about Jeremy Pruitt's recruiting class, which just keeps soaring up the charts. If he was a song right now, he would look like he was headed for number one. I mean, that's how fast flying they've been moving up the charts. He is putting together quite the impressive recruiting class. We'll talk about all that and more with Vince Ferrara. On the other side, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on this Monday morning, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Getting the week started off right. We're going to do that with Vince Ferrara. He is filling in all week on the Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville, on their midday show. So we have moved him up a little bit early so we could chat with him. Vince, how was your weekend?
It was good. Weather was nice overall and productive. And so, yeah, enjoyed it. Hope you guys had a great weekend, too.
Well, we had great weather until late yesterday afternoon, and then we had some massive storms roll through. Massive storms knocked out a ton of power. What about you guys?
It dissipated before it got to us. Really, not much. Now, maybe in the northern part of the state, closer to the state line, I think they had it was a little worse up there. But no, it kind of dissipated. And man, when you guys get storms, they don't mess around in Nashville.
No, unfortunately, they do not. There's a lot of truth to that. Like I said, unfortunately, you know what hasn't dissipated? Jeremy Pruitt and his coaches on the recruiting trail. Man, they are clobbering it right now. What is going on? Talk to us.
Well, it's something that I don't know that we've seen in recruiting at Tennessee in many, many years. Now, during Butch Jones, he had a couple of years of top five classes. There was one year where he had the stretch in the summer. I remember talking about it because it was during the NBA Finals. It might have been one of those Cavs Warriors NBA Finals. It was during that period. And he got a bunch in, you know, like a week's time, 10 days time, like eight in a week, something like that. But it was different. At that point, it got a lot of attention. It was guys committing. It was choreographed just for the sake of getting attention and getting buzz for Tennessee. And it wasn't the high-level prospects that Jeremy Pruitt and his staff are bringing in now. It's seven commits now in 8 days, including a couple of five stars and several four stars as well. Guys filling positions of need that they've desperately needed and getting guys that can be difference makers for them down the road. And there's no guarantee for any of those guys, obviously, in recruiting. Honestly, there's no guarantee that any of these kids even make it to Tennessee because there's so much time until we get to that early signing period. And I think you're going to see a lot of movement in a lot of people's classes, a lot of teams' classes, when things do start to open up and that carrot of just come see us is out there. It's interesting how a lot of kids are committing during this period, but no one is taking better advantage of it than Jeremy Pruitt. So it's the level of players that they're getting during a stretch, and it's who they're beating, Darren. They've beaten Auburn, who's been a finalist in a number of these kids, and three or four different players during the stretch of seven players. You can go back to previous battles, and Tennessee has won those also. So that it's beating the Auburns, the Alabamas, the LSUs, beat Miami for a kid in Hollywood, Florida. So it's significant in a number of different ways. And I think the biggest one was getting started with a five-star in Dylan Brooks from the state of Alabama. He's an elite pass rusher that they have not had and they've been desperately looking for. And he got things started, and just the momentum, people are saying, hey, I know what I'm going to do, so I'll jump in also. Just been impressive. Really nobody hotter than Tennessee right now.
What do you think that they're telling these kids? What do you think has changed? I mean, you know, you can't say, hey, we're the University of Tennessee. I mean, they used to be able to do that, but, you know, that line doesn't work, you know, in the last decade. So what do you think is their pitch out on the road right now?
Well, clearly it's still
– Well, I guess they're not on the road right now, are they?
Right. Well, yeah, through Zoom.
I was going to say virtually. What's their pitch?
Right. I think it is. It's playing time is still there. I mean, guys kind of allude to it that when they do interviews, the opportunity to play. I'm sure they're selling him on them being the class to put them over the top and into championships. You know, great players want to play with great players, and the players that have committed to Tennessee have been open and trying to get other players and recruit them. And you know, right now is a period of time. I think it was underestimated. I've heard some of the analysts that we've talked to, like Brent Hubbs and others, say didn't realize how much more contact the coaching staffs were going to be able to have with these kids, and how they were able to, they were going to be even more able to sort of personally connect with them and let them in even more because of the video, maybe get more personal with their conversations and not as much about football because of that more relaxed atmosphere and the ability to do those video Zoom calls now that they weren't able to do before like this. I think it's allowed them to have guys that are good relationship guys be able to take advantage of that. Derek Ansley connects with players. He's got experience in the NFL and, you know, obviously at Alabama and really good players there for Pruitt and a number of the coaching staff. They also went younger with their coaching staff with the offseason moves. And I think those guys understanding the technology and having Tennessee as a good off-field staff to where they are as good as it gets on social media. So I think that kind of stuff helps expand their reach and their connection with kids. So all those factors are involved. It's not just one thing. And then another thing, Darren, is that a lot of these recruits are outside of the state of Tennessee. You see them with a number of kids from Alabama. Brooks is one of them. And I think what it is the cashing in on the relationships that they had coming into Tennessee that took a little while for them to be able to prosper from. And I think part of that is, hey, they had kids and coaches wanted to see the results on the field. So they were finally able to do that last year. Now guys that you had relationships with are like, okay, first-year head coach, he's getting things done at Tennessee. Yeah, I'll give my players a thumbs up to go to Tennessee, and the kids are now seeing that, hey, they're going in the right direction, those kind of things. So I think all those things are have been pluses. And then the last thing is Pruitt put even more stock into player relationships going into last year. I think it paid off with the players on his roster. And I think taking that approach of talking about life and not just being football guy and breaking that image when people talk to him, I think that has translated in recruiting as well. And certainly his staff, his assistants have taken that approach too, and not bombard these kids and make them look like he's not a human being. I think he's been able to translate the human element through these virtual meetings and connections with the recruits also.
How do you think, here's the big one, how do you think Jeremy Pruitt is going to handle now pressure? Because this is where it got to a lot of them, right? Now there's going to be expectations. I mean, I know there's pressure. It's, you know, it's UT, it's the SEC. I get it. But you know what I mean. Like that now it's going to get ratcheted up. So now the fan base that you deal with every day is going to be, you know, wanting 9, 10, 11, 12 wins, you know, realistic or not. That's what they're going to want. And I know it sounds silly, but expectations are going to grow. How do you think they'll handle that?
I think they'll handle it better than Butch Jones. Will he handle it perfectly? That's what I'm not 100% convinced on or have an absolute answer for you, because we really haven't seen him in it before, where now it's not just, hey, we're trying to build, give us time, come out to the stadium and support us. Now it's, hey, what do you guys want? You know, we're not going to win every game, blah blah blah. It's going to be pressure from a different avenue. And if they lose a game they're not supposed to, when people are expecting them to compete in the East, will he talk down those expectations? Really, he hasn't. He hasn't shied away from that. When they've won games ugly, he said, "Look, I'm not apologizing for wins, but here's our standard at Tennessee." And when they've lost games and played well against good teams, he said he's not about moral victories. We're here to compete for championships. So because he's kind of laid that groundwork before and not been in the excuse business as some coaches are, I do think he will handle it better Will he make mistakes? That's the part of it that I don't know, because, you know, we all know sometimes the Heat can pick up significant lead, and it's a whole different world when you're now there is no more honeymoon period. Now you're expected to deliver and even over deliver from what realistically you should be able to do.
Talking to Vince Ferrara here over at the Sports Animal. Hey, Vince, I'm curious over your way, because I know you follow the college baseball scene over there. I'm just curious what baseball players are doing right now, maybe that play for Tennessee or maybe play a local high school there, to try to stay sharp, because, you know, we've been following what's happening at the major league level. It's even more murky for the minor league level. And I would say it's even more murky every level you go down. But you got a lot of players that I know want to play, A, but number two, want to at least try to stay sharp. What are you hearing over there?
Well, actually, we talked to Tony Vitello last week on the afternoon show that I was on all week. And then we talked to a couple of players, one of which is Stopper of the Year candidate, one of the better closers in Redmond Walsh, and another is a newcomer, a transfer that they're getting from ETSU, a catcher in DH in Jackson Greer, who will come in and probably split some time at catcher with Connor Pavloni. And, you know, they talked about just doing stuff to stay in shape, not necessarily the baseball part of it, but more things to stay in shape. And for pitchers, it is more difficult to replicate that. I'm sure that there's been some, you know, workout with your friends type of things, not in big groups, but it's those guys have alluded more to, you know, doing the stay in shape type of thing more so than, you know, working on eye-hand coordination and, you know, taking cuts and things like that. I think they're waiting on getting back to that. Normally they'd be getting ready for summer ball. The Cape Cod League, the premier summer league, has been canceled for this year. And I guess right now it'll still be, looking at the calendar, actually there'd still be 2 weeks left in the SEC, so they wouldn't quite be getting ready for summer ball, but it wouldn't be too far away. I was looking at it yesterday, Willie, would be two weekends left in SEC play right now if we were in our normal college baseball season. And that's how much of the season we've already lost, and obviously it's not going to happen. So it's just like with a lot of other athletes, you know, some have a different setup than others at their home, but that's the best they can do is just try to stay in shape for when they can get out and do more things. But things are starting to open up more here, so I think you will see them be able to find different ways to get on fields and do a little bit more of the baseball stuff soon.
Yeah, let's hope they can do it and do it practically and safely and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know every sport is probably thinking along those same lines there. Vince, I know you're a longtime Floridian, so I know you saw the news with the legendary Don Shula passing away. Just maybe a little perspective on him. We've already kind of shared some of our stories. I remember the first NFL game I ever saw live was at Shea Stadium, Jets Dolphins, and the great Don Shula was, of course, on the sideline for Miami there. But what an amazing part of history for the NFL and spanned so many decades.
No doubt. And he was just growing up in that state. Yeah, the Bucs were in our backyard, but the Buccaneers were a laughingstock in the NFL for a long time when I was a kid. And really the marquee NFL team and clearly the leader in the state was the Miami Dolphins. So that's where the stars were. That's where the iconic coach was. And that's what everybody had an interest in watching in some form or fashion, even if you weren't a fan, but they were captivating the stars through the years. I remember a game that I still see vividly was that playoff game with the San Diego Chargers where they had to carry Kellen Winslow off the field. And that was the hook and lateral game.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching it vividly.
Yeah, they were – that game, to me, I would put that game up against any that I've ever seen in football for the excitement of it, for the incredible plays, and the high level of caliber talent on the field on both sides. Marino was as flashy as it got. So that's what it was, is they were the Rams before they were the fastest or the fastest show on turf or whatever the Rams call themselves. But they were that before the Rams and before even you had the media coverage. So just so much respect for Don Shula. I covered his son Mike when he was a coach at Alabama a few years, and he would always talk about his dad, obviously, glowingly. So that was another connection I had, was just hearing about him frequently through his son Mike when he was at Alabama.
Vince Ferrara, the Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville, and Vince, I know you got to go get ready for your show, but I do have one. As we have the conversation about recruiting and Jeremy Pruitt, that fan base has been, I guess, patient, as patient as they can be over the last decade or so of trying to get back to where they were, in the glory days of Philip Fulmer. You look at last year and I think how it ended, and maybe a little bit of overachieving and definitely got better as the year went on. How does that, coupled with the solid recruiting class, maybe make that fan base a little less patient if this season doesn't turn out the way that they all hope it does?
No doubt. It's going to be a fluid week-to-week deal. And I think it was anyway, but this enhances the expectation, even though these kids aren't going to be a part of this fall's team. I just think it adds to the confidence that they already had in Jeremy Pruitt because of the way last year turned around for them and they were able to finish. And will that be unfair? Perhaps, but it's college football and on the big time level, and that's going to happen. And whatever you think they're going to be, fans are going to be a couple of wins above that anyway. Maybe this adds another game to it, especially if it continues and they stay up there in recruiting. So it's a product of it. And, to kind of the Darren's point, how's he going to handle it? We'll see. But there's no doubt that Tennessee fans are going to say why. They already have. They did before the stretch, where we were taking the phone calls of why can't Tennessee beat Georgia and Florida? And they're losing this and we're bringing this back. And, I have ultimate trust in the staff and, schedule plays out this way. That was already happening prior to them now feeling great about the way things are going. And, in a way, I don't begrudge them for being super excited now, because they've seen this coaching staff develop players. And in order for you to win and win championships and win big time, you need elite players that are developed, not three stars that are developed and you hit on an occasional five or four star. You need both. And now it looks like they're starting to get some of those elite players in. They did a couple last year, and they're now even more so in the next class. Now that's why fans feel so good, is you get elite players that they think will be developed. The payoff won't be immediate. It might still be down the road a couple of years, but that's why I think they have their chest out and they're feeling great about it.
Real quick, Vince, you said things were starting to open up. I've been receiving some emails this morning from some of the cabin rental places in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, and they said that they are back open. So how much is coming back open in East Tennessee?
Well, we're in phase one, where restaurants and gyms are at 50%. My gym is opening up today. Obviously masks are required for gyms and things like that. I think more of the places like salons and barbershops, things like that, will open up more here soon. But that's a big part of it is the restaurants and the salons. And the gyms. And then there are multiple phases to where everything else will come into play. So that's, I think, really encouraging. A lot of people here, Knoxville's had just their cases go up slightly, even with a lot more tests. So I think people are ready for it, but there are still some that are kind of cautious and not jumping all the way back in. But I think it has been encouraging here in the Knoxville area.
Good stuff. Enjoy your week of shows. Have a great week. And we'll do it again next Monday.
All right, guys. Great to talk to you guys. Stay safe and healthy as well. Appreciate you.
All right. Same to you. That is Vince Ferrara, WNML in Knoxville, the sports animal, and we do appreciate him joining us. And you just heard of Jeremy Pruitt and his staff just absolutely crushing it right now on recruits when it comes to Tennessee football. All right, we'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good stuff from Vince Ferrara, as always. Normally he joins us at high noon on Mondays, but had to move to a little bit earlier today because he's about to start up hosting a show in about 15 minutes or so in Knoxville. So we do appreciate him joining us. Teron Davenport coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll talk with TD, and also we'll do This Is What I Know before we get out of the second hour of the program. Trey Wingo at noon, Butch Spearden in the final hour. So we got a lot of good things on tap, Marquise. With that being said, I did a little research during the break, and I think we've got some potential down the pike very, very soon, breaking news coming. So let's hit it. So I feel pretty good that Chase and I guilted Willie into actually trying to win, rather than just to wave the white towel and give up in his Winter Park bracket. He is in the Final Four. Willie kind of gave this lame speech of, it was a good run.
It was bad,
and,
Willie.
You know, I give up. Austin Rivers made it to the NBA. I didn't. Woe is me. I won the games I was supposed to, but this one's just too tough. I can't do this one. So just pulled the ripcord before it even started. And, of course, it was a huge disappointment for the show. It was a disappointment for the two of us listening to that. It is, quite honestly, it was a downer. It was depressing.
It was a dark day.
It really was. And we ended the show like that. And, I mean, I didn't sleep well that night. I felt like, man, we did 3 hours and 50 minutes of really good radio that day, and we just ended with a pile of manure and just a batch of flies around it. I mean, come on. Like, that just got everybody depressed. It just wasn't the speech we needed on this show. So I feel like we guilted Willie in. He gathered himself up. He, you know, pulled himself together and decided to actually go for it. Just decided, do you know what? The heck, this is like Major League. We'll just take off a piece of clothing with every win, and let's just go for it.
Win the whole.
I'm sitting here in shorts. I'm sitting here in shorts right now and no shirt.
Chase, I looked at the numbers during the break, and if I'm seeing this correctly, there's an hour left in the voting. Maybe I looked at it wrong. Maybe it's done. But one, Wiley Danuk is in control in the polls. 69% of the vote.
Is that on – that's on Twitter.
That's on
– on Twitter, yes.
Twitter, yes.
Okay.
And so Facebook and Instagram are also in the running, so, and I am behind in both of those. So every vote counts as one.
So where is do you have the updated percentages right now? It was 69% on Twitter. What is it?
But here's the thing.
So I'm winning on Twitter. Mm-hmm. We don't know how many votes there are on the others. That's the thing. We only know the percentage.
Ah, okay.
So he has 82%. He has 82% of the vote on Instagram. Hmm, okay. The 18.
Okay.
Willie.
So I don't know if he got his Instagram people going. He has like 300,000 followers. This is Austin Rivers, the great player for Duke and now a longtime NBA player. And Facebook, let's see.
Willie, if I hit vote, because I haven't voted yet, because you just – you turned me away. I mean, it just your speech last week really, really hurt, and I was going to stay away from it because if you didn't care, why should I? But now it seems like you've come around. So if you promise me that we never have that type of attitude again, I'm going to hit vote, and I'm going to vote for you.
I have the majority on Facebook as well, 54-46. Right. I'm just telling you, I would feel a little guilty at with the career numbers that I have compared to Austin Rivers, the credentials he has. I would feel a little.
Willie?
Here we go again.
I want you to listen to something.
Please stop him.
But I get it.
Someone stop him.
I'm going to play something for you. When you feel this way, I want you to listen to this song, okay?
Okay, okay. Like Mike. If I could be like Mike.
I want to be like Mike. I want you to be like Mike. Mike would not think that way, okay?
Mike would never. And you don't have to. Look, you don't have to be at that level. Like, that's like the rare, rare exception. That is the upper, upper, upper tier. That's the penthouse of that mentality. But, man, you were at the basement. You were like six stories below ground level with that speech. Like, there's some middle ground. Like, Chase has given you the penthouse. You were like six stories below ground level. You got to come up above ground and work on it from there. You don't have to be exactly. I mean, be like Mike would be great, but I think it's very clear, Chase. That is asking the impossible. I mean, he's still kind of almost tiptoeing around that hole again, just 2 minutes ago. Still.
And see, I'm helping you out. I'm retweeting this now, and I'm saying believe in Willie D, even when he doesn't believe in himself.
Well, this is what I decided, okay? And I told the guys this. There's a younger group of guys who are, they're more contemporaries with Austin Rivers. And my high school, Winter Park High School, has had some great seasons the last 15 years or so. Much more known for football. And the basketball was much more secondary. So I'm just excited that they're doing this, and the program is – it's become really relevant here recently. We had a lot of success when I was in high school, but it was relative to almost no success before and after I got there. But anyway, I said to these guys on a Facebook Live, I said, tell Austin to get his 300,000 followers into this thing and vote. If it does, because he's got great credentials, obviously. So that's the conclusion I drew. I was like, if he doesn't get his people engaged, then I'm not going to not engage my people. So that's where I left it. As you saw, I did put it out there, the polls. And so
that's
we're going to let
I
the chips fall.
That's why I did something with it. I was not going to do anything unless you did something.
Yeah, we're going to let the chips fall. So I concluded that, you know, all he's got to do is put a little effort in there. It would help these guys out who are putting together this great historical thing. It's not just this bracket thing they're doing, but they're trying to do a documentary and they're interviewing all these guys. So Austin should help from the top. Come on, Austin, you still got a few minutes. Get your people going.
If he tweets out there to
his 300,000 followers, and
you know how when Will Ferrell jumped into
the
bear pit in Anchorman and he immediately regretted that decision. I immediately regret the start of this segment.
There's been nothing reformed.
Nothing.
No. He's just
okay. Let's move on before we get depressed again. And
a Duke fan told me that this might supersede your friendship with him.
I did hear from that Duke fan this morning, yeah. And I laid out all the things to him, and I told him to make the proper decision that he felt right about. I even educated him on my high school credentials. So that he would be informed about what he was doing.
Wow. And that's on me. I raised my hand.
Thurman Thomas. I'll meet you guys halfway. I didn't ignore it. If I had ignored it, I would have been getting beat badly. But I put it out there, and people have supported me. So I really appreciate the support.
Stay with us. Hang with it. We're changing the subject right now. Chase, you've got some win totals we can get into?
I do. You know, we're sitting listening to Vince in that conversation, and he made a good point because the recruiting class that we're discussing doesn't matter this year. But all the pressure, all the expectations now with the Vols, and I decided, you know what, I'll consult our friends in Vegas and see what they have for the win totals for the Tennessee Volunteers. 7.5 for the Vols this year. The over -160, the under +140. I like the over, but what do you guys think? 7.5 for Tennessee, building on some of the momentum that was started last year.
I would take the over.
Would 9 wins be the 9 regular season wins, is that kind of the expectation that we think with them?
Expectation? I don't know what the expectation is.
I think the hunger of the fans are there with all this momentum, and so I think the expectation goes up because of that, don't you think?
Well, I think whenever you've been beaten down for a decade plus, I think your expectations have been beaten down too. I mean, there was a time, you know, when programs are humming along like UT was, the expectations, as Philip Fulmer would know, would be every season going in finishing undefeated. I mean, that would be the unfair and unrealistic expectations year in and year out. I don't know where their expectations are now as a Vols fan, because, like I said, you've been beaten down for a decade plus, and I don't know what they think is a good season or what they truly expect from the program. I mean, they are going to go up with, you know, the recruits, just like it did with Butch Jones, but don't forget, it's the same exact feeling. And how did that end? I mean, it ended poorly, where, you know, Butch Jones and his staff couldn't coach up the talent. They were great on the recruiting trail. There just wasn't much after that. So they've been let down from this before. Can Jeremy Pruitt and his staff be different? Can they actually coach up and get the absolute most out of this talented group of kids that are coming in, already there, coming in? You know, they're building a really solid roster. I don't know. It's to be determined. But what are the expectations? I have no idea. I mean, do people still blurt out they want to, you know, they expect 10 wins? I mean, I don't know. It's been a while since we've seen double-digit wins.
I think you could learn a lot in the first 4 weeks of the season, because they have Charlotte and Furman, which those should be wins, but at Oklahoma in week 2, Florida and Knoxville in week 4, those are going to be, in my opinion, the two big tests in the early part of the season, and I kind of feel like you got to get one of those two, and I honestly don't know if they will. I don't know the answer to that, but I think you got to try and get one of those two. Playing on the road at Oklahoma are going to be no easy task, though.
Also remember, I mean, this goes without saying, but the X factor of everybody in a different position of preparing for the season, off season will be different than it's ever been before, and how that could play in and mess with all of these things. But I wonder if Tennessee is helped by that or not helped by that. And what I mean by that is, like, it would seem like it would hurt teams that rely on the precision and the detail and all of that stuff, and might help teams that are just flat out more talented. I don't know. That's just a theory. And of course, we don't know what the preparation is actually going to be. Maybe there is a point where you can get a fair amount of preparation, and maybe the season's not played until the spring. Who knows?
Yeah, and that could change things too. Looking at some of these numbers for other teams, though, Vandy, the over-under 3. I would hope they'd hit the over. I really hope they hit the over.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people over there that hope they hit the over, yeah. Right?
One in particular.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, you got to hit that over, that's for sure. I think it's interesting, and we can start this conversation up with Teron Davenport to kick off the second hour. How about the news that the NFL, at least as of right now, they're releasing their preseason and regular season schedule this week, and it seems like it is, pardon the pun, game on. Like they're going to start and do a, you know, their normal season.
One major change, though, that's being reported. No London.
Yeah, well, that goes without. I mean, to me, of course.
That's the right decision.
We'll put it this way. I don't think the Predators are doing, you know, what they've originally scheduled to do for their preseason. I think that's going to get tossed. I think Notre Dame football was supposed to play. It seems like every 3-4 years they go play over in Ireland, and I think they were set to do that again this year. I don't think that happens. I think all that stuff is going to get tabled. It's going to be put on hold, right?
Yeah,
I don't see any of that stuff happening.
I think it should.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. But you know, with that being said, they're still talking like it's going to be business as usual.
Yeah, I've read that they have contingency plans. You know, just
because
they have
to start a little bit later.
Yeah, I think they have a couple of different scenarios that they know about, but they're not necessarily going to release. Which, okay, that I don't blame them there, but I think they're just that's kind of how they're playing it, and we'll see see how it shakes out. But yeah, they're going to release the schedule this week, and we'll end up having the you know, I remember us having this conversation before that I actually pay attention and like the schedule release, and maybe I get a little too into it. I remember you guys giving me a hard time about that. But I wonder how many primetime games the Titans will get. That'll be a conversation I'm sure we'll have all week.
It's so crazy. I keep going back and forth. Some days I sit there and I'm like, yeah, let's go. We'll be ready. We're going to make it. It's going to happen. And then other days I'm like, we're crazy. This isn't going to happen. There's no way. You know what I mean? It's so weird, the range of emotions I have depending on the day and depending on the news. Like we were just talking to Vince about things opening up where he is. You know, we know Davidson County is in a different place, right? I think it was not a good weekend for new cases of the virus, you know? So it's such a range of ups and downs in your mind, as much as the reality too. So it's so hard, but you know, all we can do is hope.
That we will, and hope we come back and talk some more football with Teron Davenport from ESPN, ESPN.com. He's the NFL Nation reporter covering the Titans. We'll do that next on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.